News Radio. A state lawmaker's request for an ethics hearing is rejected.
House Republican Brenda Barton lodged the complaint against Senator Rich Crandall after he left an angry voicemail telling her she could forget about her bills clearing his education committee. This after Barton confronted Crandall's daughter over political signs. Acting Senate Ethics Chairwoman Linda Gray says refusal to hear someone's bills is not an ethics issue.
Coconino County Sheriff's deputies arrest a Kingman man, a device that looked like a hand grenade found inside a car parked at a Belmont truck stop. The vehicle had been stolen in Prescott Valley.
Technicians were able to determine that the item was not explosive, but was manufactured to look like a military hand grenade.
Two Phoenix hospitals offering free screening to some patients that might have been exposed to a health care worker who just triggered a hepatitis C outbreak in New Hampshire.
This person spent a very short time in Arizona. One hospital was 11 days and the other hospital just under 4 months.
And a new Kids Count report say 1 in 4 Arizona children live in poverty. George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your Cavenix traffic is a service of the good folks at Allstate. 4 o'clock hour, you're going to find an accident off the side westbound I-10 at 7th Street. Also, we do have a collision Bell Road east of the Loop 101. And it's the Agua Fria to you and me. And also look for a fender bender 7th Avenue at Dunlap. Summer vacation season has arrived, but before you hit the road for your warm weather adventures, put yourself in good hands with Allstate. Talk to an agent today at Allstate.com. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Once again, for the rest of the work week, we're taking a little monsoon break here in the valley as most of the storms are confined to the high country and southeast Arizona. Our daytime highs 105 to 107 and more storm activity by the weekend. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently we're at 104 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Hey there. Yeah, you. Listen up. You gonna start a digging project? I don't care if you're a pro or just a guy planting a tree in the yard. You need to call 811 before you dig to get the utility lines marked for free. Utility lines could be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, even beneath vacant land. You hit one of those, and believe me, you won't be happy. Keep the neighborhood safe and keep yourself free of fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig.
Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Welcome to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek, and I've got Dennis here right by my side. Today on the show, we're going to start the show talking to Ben Quayle, who's kind enough to call in from the floor of the House out there in D.C. And later on the show, we'll be talking about the tragedy in Colorado. And finishing out the show, we're going to be talking gun rights and taking some calls on how you feel about your right to bear arms. So let's start talking to Ben Quayle. Representative Quayle, are you on the line?
Yep, I'm here.
Good to have you on the show again. I know you're here just a few weeks back talking about Fast and Furious. Maybe you'd like to give us an update on what's going on there.
Well, I mean, we continue to try to put pressure on the administration to hand over the subpoenaed documents. Obviously, the executive privilege was invoked by the president. The tactic that we used was two-pronged with the contempt proceedings. One was congressional contempt, which went through the House, and then the U.S. Attorney's Office, which we believed was going to happen, said that they're not going to go through and convene a grand jury against Eric Holder. And so that's why we had to also do a civil contempt so that we can actually appoint an attorney to actually go into civil court and then use the court process to actually try to get the documents that we have subpoenaed. And this will actually make the president and the administration actually have to go through and give us reasoning why presidential privilege exists for each document, because as we learned from Nixon, you can't just invoke presidential privilege just to cover up a wrongdoing. So we're still pursuing that. We just want to continue to get to the bottom of this so that we can figure out who knew what, when, and why this operation was put into place, and also to find that information out for the Terry family, because we do have a slain Border Patrol agent.
Yeah, absolutely. You think you're ever going to get helpful response from the administration here? You think they're ever going to produce these documents?
Not unless you come up with court pressure and the requirement of it. The administration, I believe, realizes that these documents are damaging, and so they're going to try to block it every step of the way. But we need to continue to go through with this even after, you know, if we have a new administration next year, because we need to get to the bottom of this. And we need to understand, and Terry's family deserves answers to why Brian was killed.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Representative Quayle. This is Dennis Wolinchak. I get this question asked to me a lot by people on this. You know, you guys voted the way you voted. He basically shrugged it off. And, you know, what is the effect of this, basically? Now you got to go to court and probably
right.
be stymied for, what, another year till after the election. So is the process that you're hiring someone now to go to district court, file what, formal contempt proceedings?
Yes, yeah, so it's a civil contempt proceeding.
And then I assume they're going to try, as I said, to basically drag this out as long as they can. What's your take on that? Do you have any special insight into that as to how long this is going to take before they finally can resolve it? Or is this going to be something where the court just drags it out until the election perceives it to be political?
Well, it is going to take time, and that's why we were so frustrated and wanted to get to the bottom and wanted cooperation from the administration. And this isn't, you know, the first time that the judicial route is going to be taken. And that's one of the biggest issues that I have with this administration is that they've consistently gone beyond the statutory authority that was given to them via statute for the executive branch on a numerous different laws.
Mm-hmm.
And our only repercussion is through the court challenges,
yeah.
whether it was the immigration issue that Napolitano did, whether the HHS waiver for work for welfare, whether it was the appointments for CFPB with Richard Cordray and the NLRB folks, whether it's the NLRB's actions that they've been taking, whether it's the EPA's actions. It's time and time again. That's why.
Well, no, I don't think it's political in that sense. I'm just saying I think that they're trying to make it sound like it's political. But it's really not. I mean, it's a constitutional principle here at stake. And
correct.
My other quick question is, does the Justice Department get to represent Eric Holder in this, whereas you guys got to go out and hire separate counsel? Because generally, I would think, you know, I'm not as familiar with the federal system as I am with the state, but the Justice Department should theoretically be representing the government, which would include the Congress, I would think. But in this case, they're conflicted out. Shouldn't they be conflicted out of representing him as well?
I believe that he has to get outside counsel, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, because I think if he gets outside counsel, it certainly helps a lot. Maybe somebody would independently counsel him.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I'm almost positive that you do have to get outside counsel because you can't have, a U.S. attorney actually adjudicating this.
That's what I would think. So that may be helpful to the process, I would hope, because that attorney might be independent and have some idea of trying to resolve it.
Right. Well, and just to make that point again for the independents, I mean, if you look at the intel leaks, Attorney General Holder appointed two U.S. attorneys. One was a bundler for President Obama's campaign, and we've been calling. I have a bill, and Senator McCain as well, to appoint an independent prosecutor because these people are conflicted out because they're not going to want to actually find damaging evidence against the administration.
Yeah, I think that's obvious. Anyway, thanks for that insight.
Yeah.
Moving on, Representative Quayle, I see you've got a new bill out, the Sunshine for Regulatory Degrees and Settlements Act. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is actually, we're debating it right now, so I got to go back down to the floor here soon to argue against the various amendments that are trying to gut the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my bill is part of a package to really try to rein in the overly burdensome regulatory environment that we have right now. And my piece of the legislation deals with sue and settlement agreements and consent decrees. And it's kind of an area that not many people know that this is where the most burdensome regulations actually come to fruition. So what happens, the process is something like this, is that an outside group, many times it's a radical environmental group, goes lobbies Congress to get a rule put into a statute with an artificially short timeline for when that rule needs to be written. When that lapses, then they sue that agency. And then behind closed doors, usually, the Department of Justice gets a settlement agreement that becomes law, that becomes the rule, without any input from those that are going to be affected by the rule. And one of the other bad parts of it is that since it went through the judicial process, it's extraordinarily difficult for subsequent administrations to actually repeal it or change it because it went through the judicial process. So what mine does, it goes back to the days when Ed Meese was Attorney General, and he had a thing called the Meese Memo, and it brings some transparency to this process. It allows people or groups that are going to be affected by these regulations to actually get a seat at the table during the process, so they can actually have their voices be heard during the settlement agreements. And also, it makes it a lot easier for future administrations to change and alter these rules that are made. Because some of the things that come in, they actually sue. The complaint is filed on the same day that the settlement agreement is filed. Mm-hmm. So there's no chance for comment by these people. And some of the most egregious ones, utility max, greenhouse gases, and one of the ones for regional haze that's going to be affecting Arizona, it's going to drive up costs. Some estimates are, say, 20-30% if it goes into full implementation, 20-30% increase in electricity costs in Arizona, and about 15-20% increase in water costs because they're just trying to get rid of coal-generating power stations.
Yeah, real quick before our break, Representative Quayle, how long a period of time then would it be that the public would have an opportunity to comment? Because I could see that also being a problem in holding up settlements and consents.
Well, in this, they actually with this bill, if it goes into effect, they actually get involved in the process right from the very beginning. They have to post the complaint, and so they get involved in the process. And then even after that, once the agreement is reached, because the court's involved, the interveners who are those who are going to be regulated, the complainant and the Department of Justice and the agency, after that is actually agreed to, then there's public comment on top of that.
All right, well, we're going to come back after the break. You're going to stay with us just for a few more minutes, aren't you? And this is part of the Red Tape Reduction and Small Business Job Creation Act. We're talking with Representative Ben Quayle. We'll be talking about other topics as well after this break.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Is your home underwater? Do you owe more on your home than it's worth? Are you tired of making payments on an investment that may never come back? I'm JR with Realty Central. They call me the short sale king. But to be honest, you don't need me. Matter of fact, you don't need any realtor. What you need is legal advice. How about if I told you I would arrange a free legal consultation for you to meet with a law firm that specializes in underwater mortgages? They'll meet with you for free. I know you have lots of questions, like should you stop paying your mortgage? Can the bank come after you? What will happen to your credit? How about that tax law that expires at the end of this year? If you would like the free legal consultation, please call or text this number, 602-405-1011. Again, if you're upside down and would like the free legal consultation, call or text 602-405-1011, 602-405-1011, a free legal consultation for you to meet with a law firm that specializes in underwater mortgages. That's 602-405-1011.
Hi, I'm Steve Cates, host of A Call to Rights here on KFNX. If you haven't heard our show every Saturday from noon to 2, you're missing out on the greatest in news, commentary, and guests discussing your rights under our Constitution. The latest updates on how to protect your rights from an out-of-control government. And you'll learn our most important motto, how never to be a victim. If you're concerned with the direction our country is going, tune in and learn how to help take it back. Take back your rights on A Call to Rights with me, Steve Cates, Saturdays at noon on KFNX.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck along with Dennis Wilencheck. We're talking to Representative Ben Quayle, who's joined us from the floor of the House. And right before I went to the break, we're talking about Representative Quayle's new bill, the Sunshine for Regulatory Decrees and Settlements Act. And I think we'll move on to another topic here. We should talk a little bit about...
Jack, that was so exciting, though. Really in the intricacies of consent decrees. And
yeah, well, we'll watch you on TV tonight on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
We'll catch it on C-SPAN.
All right. Put everybody to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving
well, but
on
you know
to...
What? Honestly, though, the red tape reduction in small business job creation, which sounds great. Can you give us any quick insight on what that is, actually?
Yeah, it's a compilation of a number of different bills. The underlying bill basically says no new major regulations can be implemented until unemployment goes below 6%. Now, there are some carve-outs in terms of with national security or any other issues, and there's a whole other catch-all provision that says, look, if the president and the administration thinks that a bill that has an economic impact of a rule of an economic impact of $100 million or more, if he thinks that that's good to go through before 6% unemployment, then he can send it to the House floor for an up or down vote, and we'll put it through that way.
Hmm. Okay. And so how did this consent thing become part of that particular bill of all things?
Well, basically, these are about five or six bills that all deal with regulation. Mm. And with the sue and settle agreements and consent decrees, this has been one of the areas where the Obama administration has been able to go the back route to more stringent regulations,
right,
and not go through the normal process. And most of the, like, Clinton didn't do it this way, Bush didn't do it this way, and Reagan didn't do it this way.
Hmm, amazing. Okay, well, Jack is now going to go on to another topic.
Okay.
Why don't we talk about what's all over the news right now, what happened in Aurora, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you where you stand personally on gun control and gun rights.
Well, gun rights, it's in the Second Amendment. It's an individual right. And it's a tragedy what happened in Colorado. And I've talked to the congressman who represents that area and around that area, and a lot of them knew people who – you know people who were in the theater and it's a tragedy what happened. But when you have this type of an event, it's not good to make a flippant reaction and saying that right now we got to start pushing for further gun control. Because I said before is that you can't regulate away evil. Evil happens. It's unfortunate that it happens, but there are evil people out there like that guy in Colorado. And so those type of people will find ways to cause harm, and we just have to try to do our best to stop it before he actually does it. And I don't think that making more restrictive gun laws is going to solve the problem.
Do you feel that the legislature has any kind of role in solving the problem, which as I see it, is recurring mass attacks by people with
assault
rifles and with
guns.
I
guess that's really the issue we're getting to, is it right?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I hear every word you're saying, and I applaud it. In fact, today my wife is out buying a gun, but the reality is there's a difference between buying a pistol to defend yourself and so forth and buying an assault weapon, which really isn't kind of necessary to do so, right? So I think that's really where the debate is, isn't it?
Well, the debate also has to be of, you know, if you're going to put those laws into place, who is going to abide by them? Law-abiding citizens who, if they were given the opportunity to buy those guns, would use them in the proper fashion. The criminals,
well, that's, I guess, the question, Representative Quayle,
yeah,
is does anybody need to use an assault weapon in a proper fashion? I guess that's the issue. Are we going too far with that? In other words, I can understand weaponry to protect yourself. Clearly, I have guns myself, and I applaud that. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, these kind of assault rifles and so forth, it's not for hunting and it's not for protection. It's really for some other purpose, isn't it?
Well, it could be for protection. It could be for target shooting. It could be for sport like that.
Well, you know, a hand grenade, I guess. But, you know, I mean, at some point, do we have to draw a line? Let me ask you something on that. I recognize these are just, you know, sort of issues that, you know, no one knows the answer to, really, so I'm not trying to be difficult.
Right.
But is this guy evil in your mind, or is he mentally ill? Because there's a difference. What we've seen with Loeffner and this kind of guy is, I don't know if they're evil or just crazy, you know?
Well, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
What he did was evil. And you know, we don't know if he's mentally unstable or what have you. And then there's another debate on what do we do about mental health in our country.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think has been misunderstood and kind of cast by the wayside.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And that's something that we really need to look at.
Well, you know what we really need to look at in that regard, since you're in Congress, is, and I'm not sure it's Congress's responsibility necessarily, but I think the real issue, if you'll permit me, is that, you know, there are mentally ill people walking the streets, and you can't
right.
do anything about it until they do something crazy like this, you know? And that's really where the problem is. You can't put them away necessarily just because they're mentally ill. You know, there are people walking the streets who are effectively, you know, walking time bombs. But my understanding is you just can't incarcerate them and you can't institutionalize them until they actually do something.
Correct. And there's, I've read some studies on this because it has piqued my interest. I've read some studies because I think the law changed, I think, back in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
Especially on the state level, where you can't institutionalize somebody unless they're going to cause harm to somebody or themselves.
Yeah.
And then you saw the rate of homelessness skyrocket.
Right.
And, you know, a good portion of the people who are homeless and living on the street do have, you know, paranoid schizophrenia, they are bipolar, they have some mental illness, and they can't be taken into an institution against their will unless they do something or are
exactly.
perceived to be able to do something.
Exactly.
So those are some of the things, I don't know if you do that on the federal level, at probably a state level,
yeah.
that we need to relook at and look at the studies that are done. I'm not an expert in this.
I understand it. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
It's just it's a real problem because this thing, like you said, and I think you said it well, this is going to happen again regardless of what laws you put into effect. The laws are irrelevant to something like this. Somebody's going to get their hands on something to harm somebody if they're mentally unstable, whether it's a pen or, you know, it could be anything.
Or an incendiary device.
Right, right. So I agree with you that I think people tend to jump to these quick conclusions like, well, let's, you know, go to gun control. But that's not probably going to stop anything like this. I agree. I really tend to agree with you. It's just a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
I was just in New York, as a matter of fact. Mayor Bloomberg was on TV there when I was there talking about this. This is a perfect example, you know, he said, of, you know, why we need gun control. Well, it's not. I mean, it's just another crazy loon. And there are
right.
probably many more of them out there.
Well, and he wants to ban ownership of handguns as well. And if you look at, you know, what's going on in Chicago right now, where they have some of the most restrictive gun bans, and yet their murder rate by guns is one of the highest in the nation. And they're going through a murder spree right now, which is one of the worst in its history.
Yeah. Yeah, again, these are eternal questions,
yeah.
and I'm not sure that I think in times of these kinds of events, we look to politicians such as yourself to give us answers, and you try, certainly, I know, but I don't know that there is an answer in fairness to people.
And that's the thing, is that, you know, when you live in a free society, sometimes there aren't the answers unless you're going to infringe on people's freedoms.
Right.
It sounds callous, but, you know, sometimes these sorts of things happen. And you can't regulate that away. You can't pass a law to get rid of those things. You try to stop it as best as you can. And you try to educate people about, you know, about mental illness, about, you know, right from wrong. But it's not the duty of centralized government to do that. A lot of it has to do with, you know, family and church and all that.
Yeah. Well, in our next segment, we're going to have actually a reporter, I guess, from NBC, right, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to talk about this whole incident. He's been reporting it for NBC News nationally. But let me ask you this, because we just have a few minutes. What's in store for you over the next few months? I know you're in a campaign now,
mm-hmm.
and you are fighting, I guess, in a new district, right?
Yeah, it's 60. It's mostly my district. My current district's about two-thirds my current district, so... Every district's new after redistricting, but this is a large proportion of my current district.
Yeah, and so you're in a primary battle right now as we speak, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, are you coming back to Arizona? I know you're in Washington now, and you'll be on the floor soon. But what are your plans over the next few months over the hot summer? Are you going to be back here?
Oh, yeah. Well, I come back every weekend. My wife and daughter live there, and so I go. I just commute back and forth.
Okay.
And so I'll be back. We go into recess, summer recess, in the beginning of August. And then, so I'll be back for that month of August.
Well, let me ask, you know, I know you're a guy that likes to go door to door and get out there and meet people, and it's a wonderful thing you do. But what is the topic out there, if you can, you know, pinpoint before our break here? What is the thing on everyone's mind out there that you see as a political candidate as well as a sitting congressman that really is on people's minds right now?
Well, first of all, I tried to go door to door on Saturday afternoon when that dust storm went in.
Oh,
not
a good
idea.
Right, not good.
But I think, you know, it changes. You know, right after the Supreme Court rulings, both on SB 1070 and Obamacare, where there's a lot of attention on the SB 1070 and then what Janet Napolitano did and the president did. There still is a lot of talk, obviously, with the economy, with the amount of debt that we're accumulating. But I think it's basically an overall, worry of people that if we don't fix the big issues that we have right now in front of us, whether it's the debt, with deficit, the economy, and really just the overall functioning of America and going back to what made us strong, they don't think that their kids are going to have the same opportunities that they did.
Yeah.
And that is, and you see that. I mean, when I talk to people, you see that in their eyes.
Yeah.
And it's really palpable.
Yeah, it's changed. Things have changed, and people see it, and it's scary to them. Well, you know, we got to take our break now, Congressman Quayle, and we're going to be talking, as I said, after this with NBC News reporter Bob Constantini. We thank you so much for appearing on the show. I know you've got a busy schedule, and you're going back on the floor to talk about that consent bill.
Exciting consent bill.
Exciting consent bill.
But thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much, okay?
Bye.
Take care. Be good. All right, we'll be back after these important news messages.
Radio. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. Senate Democrats have passed an extension of the Bush-era tax cuts for the middle class, but it's a move that is largely symbolic. Bob Constantini reports from Capitol Hill.
Vice President Biden was in the chair in case his vote was needed to break a tie.
51 yeas, 48 nays. The bill is passed.
Along party lines, the Senate approved the Democrats' plan to extend Bush-era tax cuts for income under $250,000.
We need to make sure that the richest 2% of Americans are paying their fair share.
That's Democrat Al Franken of Minnesota. Republicans, on the other hand, had their version put to a vote, but it was defeated. It would have extended all the cuts regardless of income. The vote gets senators on record. That's about it. Next week, the House will likely approve a Republican plan to keep all the tax rates in place.
Stocks ended the day mixed with the S&P slightly lower. The Dow was up 59 points, ending a three-day losing streak. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. A state lawmaker's request for an ethics hearing is rejected.
House Republican Brenda Barton lodged the complaint against Senator Rich Crandall after he left an angry voicemail telling her she could forget about her bills clearing his education committee. This after Barton confronted Crandall's daughter over political signs. Senate Ethics Chairwoman Linda Gray says refusal to hear someone's bills is not an ethics issue.
Coconino County Sheriff's deputies arrest a Kingman man, a device that looked like a hand grenade found inside a car parked at a Belmont truck stop. The vehicle had been stolen in Prescott Valley.
Technicians were able to determine that the item was not explosive, but was manufactured to look like a military hand grenade.
Two Phoenix hospitals offering free screening to some patients that might have been exposed to a health care worker who just triggered a hepatitis C outbreak in New Hampshire.
This person spent a very short time in Arizona. One hospital was 11 days and the other hospital just under 4 months.
And a new Kids Count report say 1 in 4 Arizona children live in poverty. George Tedder, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, once again, a service of the 99 Cent Only Store. Look for an accident westbound I-10 at 7th Street. Good news, though, it is off to the side. Also, we have a collision Main Street and Power in the Far East Valley. Also look for a wreck eastbound I-10, this one at 16th Street. Splash into summer savings with the help of 99 Cent Only Stores. Pick up colorful sand buckets with shovels, toy water guns, and beach balls for only 99.99 cents each. Of course, that's at the 99 Cent Only Store. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Once again, for the rest of the work week, we're taking a little monsoon break here in the valley as most of the storms are confined to the high country and southeast Arizona. Our daytime highs 105 to 107 and more storm activity by the weekend. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 104 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
You see, this is a radio talk show. This is not the news. If you want the news, I don't even know where to tell you to go because there is no news. CNN is not the news. MSNBC is not the news. NBC, ABC, CBS, they all are biased. The only difference between Michael Savage and them is I tell you what I think. I don't try to make believe I'm neutral. I am not neutral.
The Savage Nation. Afternoons 5 to 7. Independent Talk. 1100 KFNX.
You have the right to remain silent.
That's what I want.
If you give up the right to remain silent,
freedom.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Freedom.
You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
Freedom.
And to have the attorney present during questioning.
Yeah.
If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
That's what I want.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek along with Dennis Willinchek. And we were just talking to Representative Ben Quayle about various issues, and now we're going to turn to the tragedy in Colorado. We have NBC News reporter Bob Constantini on the line. Bob, you there?
Yes, Jack, I'm here.
Tell us, what's the latest news on that?
Well, the word is that the FBI has recovered a package that apparently was mailed by the suspect, James Holmes. Before the shooting, it was sent to the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus. This is according to senior law enforcement officials. They're telling NBC News. They're not really describing what the content inside this package was, but it may be able to at least shed a bit of light, if you will, on what was going on inside his mind. But apparently this was mailed and delivered before the shooting, but it had not gone through the process at the school there. Obviously, what we do know is that it talked about him being upset or whatever and wanting to shoot people, and this is according to law enforcement officials, with stick figures, with a gunman. Whether or not it sheds any light on his motive remains to be seen.
So this package was just sitting around in a mailbox there until a few days ago, and then somebody spotted it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the summertime.
Yeah.
A lot of people may be taking vacations or whatever, and the professor to whom it was mailed may very well have been on vacation. We're not sure at this point why the package wasn't delivered in a timely fashion, and that perhaps it could have prevented this, but obviously a great deal of speculation going on about that.
Yeah, obviously. But
well, you know, I have a question about that, if you don't mind. The part that I don't get about any of this, and, you know, I'm a lawyer for 35 years, and I've done criminal work as well, and some things just don't add up in this whole thing, because he had to have planned this for some significant period of time, right, because he ordered all these guns and paraphernalia and so forth. So it's not something that was done on a spur of the moment. And secondly, I guess if you look at the timing of when he dropped out of school – It was just recently, right? So,
yes.
So that doesn't add up. And then finally, if you're going to have some kind of grudge, which typically this would be about, or you know, the logical motive, then you would probably go to Ann Schutz's medical school and start firing away there, right? Yeah. If it was something related to that. So why do you go into a movie theater? It's just beyond me. I don't even understand.
Sure.
Maybe there is no thinking sure. process, but you would think a guy that planned it that carefully had some kind of reason why he went there, right?
Well, it's just hard. It's hard to imagine what was going through his mind and why he chose that particular movie theater. But I guess he felt that, there would be a huge crowd there, and this would be some kind of statement that he would make. But that's obviously just pure speculation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you look at Jared Loughner, right? Jared Loughner, as crazy as he was, and I think there's a lot of similarities there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Jared Loughner, on the one hand, goes, and with as crazy as he is, goes with a specific motive of gunning down a congressman, okay? So there was some, I hate to use the word logical when it comes to these guys.
Twisted logic.
Yeah, some kind of twisted logic. But at least there was some kind of shred of logic that you could attribute to it. This thing, though, to me, is just
The shred of logic is that the guy knows he's going to get publicity. I think that was the only shred of logic to the whole Jared Loughner thing. I don't know why he'd have some kind of personal grudge against Congress people or judges. I think.
And Colorado guys, does require a cursory background check for purchasing guns. But as we know, there is nothing in James Holmes' background that would have prevented him from getting a gun. I know that. In Washington, there's a lot of talk about the idea of trying to figure out how he came to get all of this tactical, SWAT equipment that he had, and tear gas and or whatever it exactly was that was exploded. There's a lot of hand-wringing about that, about whether or not some of these things should be illegal and people who purchase a lot of this kind of material should be subject to a background check.
Well, we had on before you Congressman Quayle from Arizona and Dan Quayle's son. And, we were talking about this, obviously, and the issue is, to me at least, why I cannot understand. I mean, I'm all for gun rights, people protecting themselves. In fact, you could argue if somebody had a gun in that theater, maybe they could have used it effectively, although with all of his precautions, who knows. But having said all that, I cannot understand the logic of allowing these assault weapons, things of that nature. That's the part that I just fail to understand the logic. Maybe somebody can call up one of our listeners and explain the logic of that. But I don't think you use those things for target practice. I don't think you use them for hunting. I mean, you clearly use them as assault weapons, and I can understand SWAT teams, et cetera. But why do we allow that kind of thing to be sold as opposed to a small handgun or something like that, which would have done damage, but not the extent of damage?
I would take it even a step further. I would say there's absolutely no need for handguns. I think it's I come from the same place you do, Dennis. I like guns. I've got all the friends that like guns. I used to go to the gun range every weekend. But I think it's a total fantasy that these guys have that they're going to stop some kind of a crime with their personal weapon.
At what's going on in Florida, right?
This is part of the debate that we have. People are trying to bring back up in Washington after Gabrielle Giffords was shot. President Obama indicated that he would try in some way to bring up some gun control legislation, in particular. What we're discussing with the shooting in Colorado is the assault weapons ban that was allowed to lapse in 2004.
Right. That's what I'm referring to.
You won't hear the presidential candidates. You won't hear President Obama talking about it. Mitt Romney was on in an interview with NBC's Brian Williams tonight, and he basically said this person shouldn't have had any kind of weapons and bombs and other devices. And so we can – here's a quote – and so we can sometimes hope that just changing the law will make bad things go away. It won't. Changing the heart of the American people may well be what's essential.
Who said that?
Again, that quote. That's Mitt Romney. He has, he has spoken out a bit since the shooting in Colorado, reminding voters that he believes in Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
The president, on the other hand, has been relatively silent about this issue.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? He has been.
Because he realizes that this is a hot-button issue in so many of the battleground areas, those parts of western Pennsylvania, those parts of Ohio, Virginia. Now it's such a hot issue in the battleground states where he needs to win that it's not a winning issue at the moment, especially with the National Rifle Association.
Yeah.
Does hold a significant amount of sway over Congress.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's typical in an election year. But the thing about it that we were talking about with Representative Quayle, which I think I'd like to get your thoughts on, is this. I mean, these are obviously seriously mentally ill individuals, okay?
Yeah.
He referred to them as evil. I kind of debated that. I think what they did is evil, but they're obviously just seriously deranged people out there. The problem is they're walking the streets. Like I said, there's probably another couple of ticking time bombs out there right now as we speak. And that's the scary part about it. Because mentally ill people cannot be put away on the thought that they might commit some crime. And so is there some way that this really can be stopped? The answer is probably no, because as I said, I tend to agree with Romney to some extent, although I don't think we should make it easy on people to get weaponry. I agree with that. But the point is, you can take a pencil and poke somebody in the eye with it. I mean, anything can be used as a weapon. Now, you could debate that point, but the fact is these are mentally ill people, and there's no way to predict really what any crazy person is going to do, is there?
Guys, I'm not a mental health expert, but I can tell you that, again, what I think a lot of officials in this particular case are going to emphasize is that James Holmes had nothing in his background to indicate, no criminal record,
right?
No arrest record, traffic ticket, I think, is what he had.
Yeah.
This overthrowing of his mind, if these allegations are true, this occurred relatively quickly, it seems, in this. So there was, if you saw the recent videos of him, he seemed like a perfectly normal person. And then look, juxtapose that with how he looked inside the courtroom there.
Yeah.
And it seems like an absolutely different person.
And then
it seems relatively quickly.
Yeah. And then, Bob, the other point is they're uncovering some emails, I guess, I saw, where he seems, again, perfectly normal. And then he starts talking about, will you visit me in jail or something? And it's kind of the juxtaposition of sort of a sane and an insane mind. My concern, of course, as everyone's is, if you can't predict this kind of thing, that's what makes it scary, obviously, when you can't predict these kinds of things, as you're pointing out. And so
it seems like there are ways you could predict. I mean, he's sending crazy emails. He's dyeing his hair red, just like Loeffner is putting up YouTube videos that show him doing weird things.
Well, and then you wonder, why aren't the people around him reporting these kinds of things, I guess, right? I guess that's what it boils down to, is that we all have to be on guard and notice these kinds of things and, I guess, report it. But I'm saying even if you report it to the authorities, what are they going to do about it? Call the guy up and say you don't have a right to dye your hair red?
The other thing is that his supposed, if you want to say he had a beef with the world at this moment, then you would have expected him, again, to act out against the medical campus where he had apparently failed or dropped out or whatever.
Right.
Why he chose this theater, obviously, is just...
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. That's the part that is very, very disturbing, because it makes no sense at all. That's the unpredictability factor. You could almost understand if he started out of school, as I said earlier, that he goes and he takes retribution.
Well, the only sense to make out of it is that he knew it would make a splash. He knew it would grab headlines.
So that's his deal. He wants to be famous.
That's the only way to rationalize it. That's the only twisted logic you can find in what happened.
Now, what do you think, Bob, what do you think in the time we have with you, what do you think about this business of him showing up in court the way he was? Was he drugged by his lawyer? What's the deal there? Yeah. I mean, he looked like he was totally out of it.
Yes, and Mike Taibbi, one of the NBC reporters who was inside the courtroom there, said he just felt they must have been on some medication because he seemed in so many different ways, and we've all seen the pictures of him and the video of it. He seemed sleepy. Then he seemed like he was totally zombied out.
That's amazing.
It's just speculation, of course.
Yeah.
But the woman who was with him, the public defender who was with him, told reporters that as far as she knew, he wasn't on any medication. I have to take that at its word.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's just so out of it at the moment or whatever. And again, These are only allegations, so we have to be
careful. Now, just moving on, his mother's now claiming, I guess, that her initial comment about him has been misrepresented, right?
Well, yes. She had received a phone call from ABC News reporter Brian Ross, and she said, "You found the right person," meaning she felt that that it was the idea was that I'm James Holmes' mother. And Brian Ross extrapolated that a little bit to suggest that she was saying, "Yeah, my son is probably the one who did that."
Or she did really say that. Yeah. What he now yeah. she now she's got a lawyer sure. that's saying maybe you should revise that. But anyway,
yeah, as always with reporting these things, a lot of initial information or whatever gets reported. It's this 24-hour news cycle nowadays, and this huge competition also to get the story out there quickly.
So where do we go from here? We just have a minute or so before the break, but tell our audience again. We're talking to Bob Constantini, NBC News reporter, who's covering the story up in Aurora. Where do we go from here? What's the next stage of this?
Well, some of the victims will be buried. Actually, one was buried today. 51-year-old Gordon Cowden. Who was originally from Austin, Texas. He was buried in Denver after the shooting. We'll hear more about that. We'll hear more of the personal stories of the victims. Next Monday, Holmes is expected to be in court once again.
And the court is preventing, media coverage. Yeah, no cameras.
There won't be a camera inside there, apparently. There will be, obviously, reporters allowed in. It will be open to the public in some way, but the cameras will not be in there, and we'll have to rely on others to tell us sort of his demeanor at that point.
What do you think of Christian Bale showing up? A good thing or bad thing?
Well, certainly it seems as though the victims' families were touched by that he would show up for this kind of thing. I thought
it was a good thing that he did. I thought it was very sensitive on his part.
You remember he had that meltdown in terms a couple of years ago, and this certainly will burnish his image a little bit better now.
Yeah, I agree. He wasn't looking for publicity either. Well, no. Bob Constantini, NBC News, we'll be following you on the news, on the story. Who knows where this goes, really. But we'll be following every minute of it, and thank you for being on our show today. We really appreciate it. I'm sure our audience does on the update, and we'll be in touch. And, again, stay calm
Thank
out there
you.
And cool. Be good.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon.
Be good. Bye. Okay, well, we'll be back on the show talking about all kinds of topics in the next few minutes. We need a commercial news break, a message break, Jack, and then we'll be back.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hines Benefits Consulting is an Arizona-based firm that customizes benefits solutions for you and your business. They'll help your organization improve financial performance and increase employee satisfaction. Why work with Hines Benefits? Experience, strategy, market knowledge, and world-class customer service. Call Cindy or Bernie Hines at 602-952-0370. Hines Benefits Consulting. Where better information leads to better decisions. Call today, 602-952-0370.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. This month, the HCL Detox Kit is on special. This is your opportunity to stock up on the single most important supplement for all of us who must eat cooked food when all of us mammals were designed for raw food. Just imagine, you may be able to get a second chance at healthier years by supporting the body's natural cellular remethylation and best digestion. Don't be fooled. These benefits only come from natural source products like those found in our HCL Detox Kit. Don't eat cooked food without it. Get three kits for the price of two. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Hi, my name is Denver Noahs with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people will pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to EquityForProfit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
Log on and listen live. 1100KFNX.com.
Alice gambling in Havana.
Oh, well, we're not gambling in Havana. We're sitting in the hot sun in Phoenix, unfortunately. But those of you that are suffering in your air-conditioned cars or elsewhere, this is Dennis Wilenchek and Jack Wilenchek on Legal Ease, and we're going to wrap up the show soon. But, you know, Jack, we've had an interesting show, and really there's a theme here, I think, that goes through all of this, and that is that you know, from the Fast and Furious discussion with Ben Quayle, where, you know, again, these kind of assault weaponry are being sent over the border and handed out to people, to the fact that, you know, we've got this incident in Florida, you know, with Zimmerman. We've got now this crazy incident here in Colorado.
We've got a lot of gun issues. We've
got a lot of gun issues in this country. And, you know, we had them when I was young, and it hasn't changed any. And that's all that's going on. So I don't know. What's the answer here?
I said earlier in the show, my personal view is that there's absolutely no need for a civilian to have a gun. If you want to, you know, work out some kind of system, you know,
let me tell you what the problem with that is. The problem with that is, you know, it's the old story, but there's nothing new here. But the problem is that the bad guys are going to get guns. They're going to get guns. And the fact is, you're going to be sitting in a theater and some lunatic's going to walk in and you're going to look around and see if you can protect yourself. And that's the fear. And, you know, Robert, our producer, just if I can find it here real quickly, handed us a note here during the break that the number of applications for guns in Colorado has just soared.
41%.
41%. There it is.
I was talking to my folks about that. That's where I'm born and raised, and it's just crazy back there
It's going crazy.
It really is.
My, as I said, and I wasn't kidding, my wife this morning shows me, your mother shows me a pistol that she wants to buy that she's going to go out and buy today with a laser on it.
People are
concerned.
I think it's a fantasy. You buy a gun, all that ever happens to it is somebody steals it. It gets stolen out of your apartment. You know, you get burglarized. There's a lot of stories in the news in recent years of these lone young male gunmen who go out, buy a gun, and terrorize people. Where's the story about the guy who happens to be standing there with, you know, some gun strapped to his ankle? It's been collecting dust for the last 10 years.
Well,
he pulls
out
and stops it. I haven't seen a single story like that.
My concern is you talk about that George Zimmerman,
right?
Another problem. He's got a gun, right? And arguably he uses it, you know, and gets in trouble for using it, right? And we've had on the show people talking about that new, what is it that they call that? Stand your ground. That's it. I mean, look, the bottom line is it probably gets you in more trouble than it solves.
Exactly.
But having said that, the question is, do you feel safer with it? And that's where it comes out.
Yeah, everybody was saying that this guy, if I had a gun, I would have taken this guy. The guy had full body armor, for crying out loud.
Right.
That's why he had gas. He was throwing tanks of gas. These people had no chance.
Yeah.
I don't care if you had a marksman cop in there, okay?
Yeah.
He made it impossible for people to defend themselves.
That's true. But then, so what do? You just don't defend yourself, I guess.
You run for cover and just say your prayers. I mean, there's nothing you can do. I wanted to ask you an indirect question. Were you in New York during Son of Sam?
No, I'd left.
Okay, because that must have just been crazy. The gun, they didn't have any gun laws then. I don't even know. They don't even know how David Berkowitz ever even acquired that gun.
Right, right.
Some
that's very true.
40 years later.
It's very difficult to have a gun in New York. Nobody had guns when I
Well,
grew
no,
up
they've got the Sullivan Act. You get a year,
right,
don't you?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean,
but look,
who knows?
They've got crime there still, so,
you know. It's horrible. Yeah.
Again, I don't know what the answer is. I said earlier.
Well, the answer to me is to change the law. But, you know, obviously you got the Second Amendment. And the way I look at it, it's like doing renovation in a house, okay? You got certain laws that are easy to break down. Certain walls they're easy to break down. You got your load-bearing walls, which take a little bit of extra work. You know, the Second Amendment is a load-bearing wall. It takes a little bit extra work to change it up. But I think in the modern age of, you know, assault rifles and the rest of it, there's just no reason to have it. The law the way it's written.
Yeah, I will say this just before we take a break. I agree with that. But, you know, the problem is, as I said earlier, you've got mentally ill people. That's the cause of it, okay? As I say, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And as long as you've got these mentally ill people running around, I don't care what laws you have in effect, they're going to find some way to harm somebody. And that's the issue, okay? So, you know, whether it's a gun or some other method, they're gonna do something crazy. We've got to solve that problem. I've said this many times, but that's really the problem. We've got walking wounded, mentally ill, disturbed people walking around, and we've got to solve that problem. And that's what we ought to turn to, and we'll look into that in one of our future shows. Okay, well, enough of that. I guess we're not going to solve the world's problems here today, but we are going to take off. Jack Wilencheck and Dennis Wilencheck on Legalese, and with the aid of our friend Chet here, who always has interesting comments, and Robert, our producer, we will see you next week, Wednesday, 4 to 5, on this station, KFNX.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., KFNX.